Waklisat. Welcome to the Klamath Tribes podcast. My name is Shuwina Sko. Gawasas is Shuwina Sko. And I am here with two tribal members who have expertise in what we're talking about today. And what that means is one with professional experience, both with personal experience. And we'll be talking about missing and murdered Indigenous peoples and how that impacts the Klamath tribes. I will now turn it over to our guests to introduce themselves. And if you'd like to introduce yourselves in a traditional way, feel free. But whatever way helps us become more familiar with you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Elise Lewis. I'm the MMIP coordinator for the Klamath Tribes. I am a Klamath Tribal member, and I have been in this area for, I don't know, long time.
I'm Sandra Mosteler. I'm a tribal elder. I'm from this area, and this is going to be very interesting.
Thank you both for being here. Moos of Ketcha. Now, we're doing this podcast on MMIP, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Peoples Awareness Movement, because there was recently a double homicide that happened of two young descendants of the Klamath tribes. And it's not something we are unfamiliar with. And because of that, it is very important to shine light in this area for our tribal members to say and show that we're with you, we see you, and we're moving forward together to do something about it. And for non-tribal folks to bring awareness and let them know our experience and move forward together in a way that supports our society as a whole. Because when we are impacted, because we're members of the society as a whole, it also impacts everyone else. My first question that I would like to go over is, what is the MMIP movement?
The MMIP movement is something that has been established probably since about 2010s. And it was federally recognized throughout the nation, pretty much picked up when in about 2021. So now they have the Not Invisible Act as well as Savannah's Act. And due to that, the Klamath Tribes has now recently launched a new position in 2023. They received federal grant funding for addressing MMIP within the Klamath County, as well as for all of our Klamath Tribal members nationwide, or internationally, not just nationwide. And then it also helps address all those who are Indigenous here within Klamath County.
Mm. So who is impacted by this movement? Why is it so important for our tribal members?
This impacts everybody. This impacts our entire nation, and not just our entire nation, but where we stand at in this world as a people, as a whole. And it really impacts our own people because it's an opportunity for them to have a voice to be heard, something that hasn't been a privilege for us up until recently.
I know that it has been recognized on a federal level to have May 5th be a day of awareness. So it's been recognized on a national level as being important, as being an issue that's perpetual, that is impacting tribal nations significantly throughout this what is known as the United States, and it also impacts Canada, so this northern continent. And it extends past our tribal nations and seeps in to the greater society. I'm wondering who is being harmed or targeted. What's the demographic? What's the identity that they hold? And who is the perpetrator? And who is causing that harm? Where can we put our efforts to make change?
Do you want the truthful answer or do you want a political answer?
I think let's start with the political answer because this is what people are familiar with and exposed to. And then let's dig deeper into what the truth is because that's where change is born.
Well, this impacts all of our people. And the folks that are most impacted are tribal members, not just federally recognized, but Indigenous people. They are most at impact because they are twice as high as likely to experience violent behaviors from other people. And then you have your LGBTQ2S+. They are greatly impacted because it's a lot of hate crimes that are throughout this nation.
And now, where does the violence start? Who is causing this violence?
Violence isn't started somewhere. It's a learned behavior. Violence is in a lot of the structures that the government has created. When the government became, when they decided to come over here to the North America and create this land as their land, they had to learn who the people that were already here were, and they wanted to impact the behaviors so that they would have a place in the world for themselves as well. So it began hundreds of years ago.
So this dynamic of harm and targeting started at the development of this colonized country. And only more recently has it become widespread knowledge. But it's something that we as Indigenous people are very familiar with, have been born into knowing since contact. And now, finally, those outside of our society are starting to become familiar with our experience. Now, how are the recent murders connected to this current MMIP awareness movement?
They were the most recent ones that had to be victims for our area. Not that they had to be, but that they were, that they are. And the Klamath Tribes is trying hard to support the families and support the community because this impacts everybody.
So some might say that maybe outside of the Indigenous community that this is a separate incident and it's a standalone incident. So why would we consider it something to do with this movement specifically? Why isn't it just its own incident by itself, completely separate?
Even if it was its own entity, its own separation from what others might perceive as a non-MMIP case, it's still within our own area. This is still in our own community. And even if these folks don't recognize themselves as Indigenous, they're still a part of who we are, and it would still be a connection to us.
So this recent incident, this recent double homicide, is connected completely because they are descendants of our nation. They are Indigenous girls. They are already at an increased risk for violence. And the system does not support their safety. Is that what I'm hearing?
It's all about perspectives. More or less, it's yes. The safety of our people isn't perceived as being very important. It's widely been known throughout the generations since colonization began that the safety of our people isn't necessary because of all of the different movements that they have created, different acts throughout history. They have tried to pretty much annihilate what indigenous people are. And up until recently, they finally have acknowledged that, hey, something needs to change and this needs to be different. Mm-hmm. So safety isn't just an issue for us as indigenous people. Safety is an issue for our structure, this governmental structure. It's impacted non-natives. It impacts those who are of all different races. It's a systemic downfall when it comes to safety. And we are here to make a difference. We're here to make a change in history to say, hey, you know, this needs to be reevaluated. It needs to be reconstructed. How can we make that change? So safety is for everybody, not just for indigenous people, not just for Caucasians, not just for African Americans, not just for Latinos, not for anybody in particular. It is for everybody. So those systemic changes are starting to occur.
So this incident is a part of a pervasive pattern that needs to stop. That cycle needs to be disrupted. And in that disruption, it will benefit us all and increase safety to us all.
That's the hope.
That's the hope.
That's the hope.
Now, because it's a pervasive pattern, and it's something that non-natives, regardless of ethnicity, culture, whether you're European descent or anything else, non-natives tend to not be too familiar with the pattern, with how common it is in our communities. And this podcast is really to bring awareness to, like I said, our community to say, I see you, I'm with you. And then also outside of our community to say, this is what's happening. And it is really important because it is pervasive and it's happening on a regular and repeated basis. Do either of you have any personal experience with being impacted by MMIP?
My experience is from when my oldest son was murdered. The MMIP wasn't in our tribe yet. And there's really not a lot that MMIP can offer me at this time. But it was something that happened over three years ago. And it wasn't recognized, it wasn't even investigated until just recently. Because at that time, the district attorney at that time read the toxicology report from my son's murder and said that it was obviously an overdose, and there was never an investigation started until just recently when the district attorney that we have now decided that there's reason to open the case up. So the case has been reopened, and an investigation is going on right now. It's very limited at this time.
What was that shift that happened from your son's murder being under investigated and undervalued to now?
Throughout the years, there has been a pattern of when something like this happened in the tribal community or with a tribal member, a lot of times it was just basically overlooked. We became the label of just another dead Indian, and I see that changing now. through the MMIP.
What efforts do you think have been helpful to create that change?
Recognition, speaking up, just getting that desire to get up there and fight for our family members. And a lot of times it's never happened in the past. Everyone would either just look the other way or they would, you know, try to take care of things within their own families and take care of each other. And now it's starting to open up more because people are, like I said, they're speaking up, they're standing up, they're contacting entities that we know that, you know, we will get some assistance from, hopefully. We even have contacted the governor. So it's just getting in there and fighting for what you believe in, fighting for your kids. You know, I'm fighting for my son, for my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and that's what this is about to me. Mm.
So making sure that we speak up, mm-hmm. we continue to speak up,
yes.
and we have support in speaking up.
Yes, yes.
Community support and support with those within the systems, whether it's legal support, support from the DA, mm-hmm. support from the governor.
Support from the Klamath tribes.
Yes. Support from our tribe.
Yes.
So it's not something that can really make significant progress by one voice alone.
No.
But it requires collective
yes.
action and collective voice.
Yes. Yes. Agreement. Mm. Taking agreement to the highest level and not being afraid to speak up, not being afraid to tell what happened, not being afraid to tell how it made you feel, not being afraid to answer questions, you know, just it's a whole new era, and things are really changing in our tribe because of things like this.
Yes. I know for myself, I had a close relative go missing and was missing for several years. And when we tried making a missing persons report, it was not taken. And because they were an adult, they didn't see it as something serious. And I was at a loss of what could do. I was at a loss of what I could do. If law enforcement was unwilling to take a report, what else can we do in our society? The only thing I knew to do was to contact my community, my family, see if we can go search for my relative on our own, because we did not have support from those whose job is to serve and protect every American. How do we get the system to support us more, to take our reports seriously, to take murders seriously, to take these homicides seriously? How do we get the system to support us in those moments and to show society that we are supported by the system so people think twice about causing harm to our tribal members, to our indigenous relatives?
That's a both easy and hard question to answer, and it'll be said with one word, with speaking up, having a voice. I guess that's many words.
One concept, one idea.
Yeah, one perception is to actually speak up. And changes are being made. It's hard to deal with that when you have other entities outside of the Klamath County that don't want to hear you and don't want to listen, want you to make that report back in the county that this person actually came from, when in fact you are supposed to make that report in the county in which they go missing. And then you take that back to the law enforcement that you're trying to contact and let them know, hey, this is what we're being informed. We need to follow
this procedure, and they want to say, hey, you need to take that back. And it's the runaround. It's passing the buck off. Somebody else will take responsibility. They don't have to. They don't need to. But when you look at it from their point of view, they're already overwhelmed. They already have a lot of people they're working with. But I don't want to look at it from their point of view. I want to say that I can understand it from their point of view. So then you'd have to reach out to other folks, and I definitely work with the Department of Justice, the U.S. Attorney, Tim Simmons, and then I also work with Cedar Wilkie. She is the regional MMIP coordinator for Oregon. So these are folks that I work with in order to reach out to these other places that don't want to hear us, that don't want to listen to stuff like this. I mean, it is hard. And being told, oh, you need to go make a report somewhere else. I'm not the person to go to. When you're being told that's who you should be going to. So it really comes down to having strong interpersonal relationships with outside entities. It's not just us. It's not just our county. It's not just our state. It's nationwide. And knowing who to talk to, how to talk to them, what words you offer them makes a difference. It makes an impact on that first impression that they're going to receive for you or from you and take that for you. So having that hope that, hey, I've got this situation. How can you guys help me out? As opposed to, why aren't you guys helping me out? It really eases up the mood and has people more ready to work with you. Rather than just like, I don't have time for you. Mm. So it's a task and a half. It's quite a challenge in reaching out to other folks. And that's part of the systemic issues that we have. But this is why we're here. This is why we're talking. It wasn't based off of one person speaking up. It wasn't based off of a couple of people speaking up. This is based off of nations. This is based off of First Nations that spoke up and heard nationwide. This isn't just here. This is also in Canada. This is also in Mexico. This is throughout the U.S. And we have people that are Indigenous First Nation people that are beyond just this continent. We have people outside in this world. And they are also being understood and they're being heard because we have people that are speaking up about this now. And that's what is going to make the difference, is actually speaking up. Our cultures teach us to not speak up because there would be repercussions. And nowadays, if you don't speak up, there is a repercussion. So times have changed. And with those changing times, we learn to adapt. And that's what's happening now. So having an MMIP movement is really a blessing in disguise. I mean, we had to endure so much hardships and suffer through so much pain and grief that, you know, it's about time that something changed and something shifted just a little bit for us to have just a glimpse of hope at making a difference. And it impacts us all nationwide, not just here in our community. And that is why I say that even if this was not an MMIP incident that occurred and it was still a MMI or MM, we can call that missing and murdered, they still impact our communities. They still impact our people because our people have a connection with everyone, not just our own tribe, not just our own families, but our Indigenous peoples. We strive still, and we thrive to have a connection with our people, to have a connection with our land. And that's what makes us who we are. That's why we are here. So now that we've got an opportunity to be heard, we're definitely speaking up and making changes. And that's how we make those changes, is speaking up.
I love that. So there is a lot of reasons to feel empowered to speak up, especially when we're experiencing perhaps one of the hardest things we ever had to, with a relative or a loved one, someone close going missing, getting murdered. I'm wondering, Sandy, what would you tell somebody? How would you encourage somebody to use their voice and speak up when they're going through this experience?
You know, I wondered for years after this happened, what can I do? How can this get changed? How can I find out what's going on, if anything's even going on? And I was told, contact the Department of Justice. Contact Tim Simmons, the Attorney General's office. Contact people. Ask them, what can I do? How can you help me? And that was what got the ball rolling in this incident. That's when things started happening, because as soon as he answered and I told him who I was, he said, I've been waiting for you to call me. So they are out there, they are waiting, they do want to help us, but we have to reach out, we have to let them know, hey, I need help, and I need any kind of, every kind of help that you can give me so I can get through this, so we can move on in our lives. You know, 9 months after they found his remains, actually it was in August of 2020, I lost my other son, Philip. And I haven't even grieved for him yet, because I'm still focusing on getting my son's murder investigated and getting that taken care of. And afterwards, then I will grieve for both of my sons. But that's what it is. It's reach out. It's contact people, ask questions. How can you help me? What can you do? Help me. Show me what I need to do. Who do I need to contact? Let's work together in this.
So it sounds like the other side of things, the legal side of things, is also receptive to supporting their investigations, supporting their work. And in your case, it seems like they definitely did receive you well.
Yes, they did.
And that is very encouraging.
Yes.
It also sounds like that you went to them with a curiosity. You went with them with a curious heart, an inquiring heart, mm-hmm. and not a demanding attitude or a blaming right. attitude.
Right.
But how can we work in moving forward together?
Yes. Yes.
And so it brought them onto your team, and they saw you as a teammate as well, onto yes. theirs.
Yes. And actually, I met him purely by accident. I was going into the tribal admin office one day, and he was just coming out. And the general manager introduced him to me, and then we just shook hands, and then we went on our way. And then one of the council members, a while after that, he gave me a business card, and he said, Sandy, I need you to get a hold of Tim Simmons, because he's the only one that's going to be able to help you. So if it wasn't for this tribal member giving me this card, I wouldn't have reached out. But I was encouraged to do something, to get out there and make that first move. And sometimes that's what it takes, is somebody has to push us and encourage us to do this. Otherwise, we're just going to sit back and wonder, what happened and why did it happen like that? And it's not going to be that way in this case.
Now, what would you tell a tribal member if there is a relative or a loved one that is missing? What are the steps that they need to go through? What are the first initial steps to receive support?
First and foremost, a report needs to be made. A report for which the county they go missing in. If they don't have that missing persons report, the law enforcement isn't able to follow pursuit after that. And if there's issues, definitely reach out. Definitely reach out to the MMIP coordinator with the Klamath tribes. And make that your priority. So when you're making that missing persons report, you want to make sure
You have everything written down. You write down what time you called this office. You write down who you spoke with. You write down their name. You write down their badge number or whatever identifying information you have for that individual, because that's going to be important later. If that individual doesn't take that report from you and make that happen, they will be held accountable for their actions. So it's very, very important that you take those details, make sure that you relay that information to somebody else and continue to speak up. And from there, write down every time you speak with somebody else, write down who you're talking with, the duration, take notes from that call, take notes from that conversation, and just understand you're not alone. You're never alone. There are so many people out there that have to go through this. And sadly, there are those that have to speak up about this to make a difference. So always remember you're not alone. First thing you need to do is make that report.
So first thing is to empower self, to use your voice, to make a report with law enforcement in the county that the person went missing.
Yes. And if they are under the age of 18, you dial 911 regardless. Does not matter. You dial 911 the second you think they are missing. There is no wait time. There is no wait time. The sooner you can make a report and the sooner you can get that established, the sooner you can help find your loved one.
And there's times that kids run away and people take it as, well, they'll be back. You know, don't take it as they'll be back. Report them missing. Report them missing, because you don't know where they're at. You don't know if someone's picked them up. You don't know if they're sex trafficked. You don't know what's going to happen with them. So if they're missing, they're missing. Report them. Report them.
So report immediately.
Yes.
Step number two is get the MMIP coordinator involved.
Yes,
with the Klamath definitely. Tribe. So that just definitely. Means bring you on board to what's happening, what the situation is, whether you need support if you're the person experiencing this. If you need support making that initial report to law enforcement, is that something you can help with?
Certainly. It's okay. Already been done, so yes.
Okay, so whether you make the report yourself or if you need support, we'll contact you. And what is the follow-up time for contacting law enforcement to see if they're making any moves in this report?
Everybody's going to have their own perspectives and opinions on that matter. So it's really like as soon as you have more information, you want to follow up with that. If you don't hear anything back, you call the very next business day or even that very next day. I shouldn't say business day. That very next day, you call that very next day. If nothing's actually being done and nothing is being handled, you do have your own personal networking that you can create. And that's what that's how we have handled a lot of our own personal situations when it comes to those who are missing or murdered, is creating that social networking. That's your foundation. That's your basis. And continue to talk and speak about it, because you gotta look for hope, and you gotta create that hope by reporting and communicating. Don't keep it locked away in your own thoughts. Communicate that as quickly as possible.
Now, is there anyone else that could support us? We have an MMIP coordinator here at the Klamath Tribes. You're located on our homelands. And then we have law enforcement. Is there any other agency or anybody else that we can contact? Or is it really just those two entities?
You can definitely contact your local law enforcement. You can contact those who you find as a good network for yourself. So if you're a churchgoer, you know you can contact your own church. If you're in a business-wise for your employment, you can always reach out to them. There is support no matter where you go, because you're not alone. And if we're looking at those who advocate for MMIP, there's the MMIP coordinator with the Klamath tribes, and then there's also the regional MMIP coordinator, Cedar Wilkie, for the state of Oregon. I do believe Warm Springs tribe has a MMIP coordinator, and there are various coordinators throughout the states. So you're not alone. There are people out there, and the first foremost thing you got to do is just reach out to law enforcement.
Okay, so I think we have a good starting point for any tribal members who have experienced this and maybe haven't reported yet. And it's a good starting point for if a tribal member does experience this in the future. Now, what would you say to our tribal community in how we can support each other moving forward in reducing the rates, increasing safety, and being more of a collective and feeling supported as a whole? What would you say to the tribal community? How can we do this?
Speak up. That's how we can do this. Speak up. If you got an opinion or a perspective and you think that something should be changed, then speak up.
Speak up. Share your story.
Don't be afraid to reach out.
Don't be afraid to reach out.
Yes. So there is definitely an MMIP team that is being put together to help out for those who need services, wraparound services. And we're trying to collaborate on how we can make an impact for those who are affected by this personally. And it's taking some time, just like it took some time to get the MMIP movement across this nation. But it is a work in progress. And if you've got any thoughts or opinions, speak up about it. And your voice will be heard once you speak.
Now, what is some guidance you can give to anyone in the system to encourage them to support our Indigenous people when they experience something like that?
We are all human. We're all human, just like each other. We are human. We tend to see that a lot of folks in the system will treat others like they are different from them. We are no different from them than they are from us. Might have different skin color, might have different hair color, might use some different slang words like in it. But we all breathe. We all need nutrition. And we all need nurture and guidance. And we all need that community effort to feel like we belong. We all have that same drive in us.
I see. So to see our tribal members, to see Indigenous people as they see themselves, as they see them, their families, their community, because we are the same. We are human. And hopefully that would motivate them to give the same amount of attention, if not more, because we do have increased rates. And it is very heavily prevalent and pervasive in our community. So hopefully they see us as the same, and they're also additionally motivated to provide just greater effort surrounding our community. Is there anything you would like to add, Sandy?
I think one of the important things is support. Support for one another and encouragement to each other. You know, asking how you're doing, is there anything I can do for you? You know, and just being there for each other is extremely important because we need each other, especially at times like this.
I could sit and talk to y'all for just hours and hours, day after day, about this. because we do need each other. This is a topic that isn't going away, that does need a lot more conversation to happen, a lot more effort to really take place. So for now, what we're going to do is encourage our tribal members to speak up, to share our stories with each other, because you're not alone. And it's likely that another Indigenous person has a shared experience. And by speaking up, by reaching out, you'll see that you are supported, you are heard, and there's power in numbers. There's power in using our voice. We also have an MMIP coordinator position and someone there to support us through this process, whether we're experiencing someone missing, someone murdered, or someone at increased risk for whatever reason. We have support here at the tribe. And it doesn't matter if you are local or you are outside of the Klamath tribe's area here, like in the city or in another country, as long as you're a tribal member, is that right? You can access this service?
All Klamath tribal members can access the service, and then all Indigenous people within Klamath County can access the services.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, we don't hold any restrictions.
And if someone just has a question, maybe they're not experiencing this. If someone has a question, can they give you a call?
Certainly. The more, the merrier.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing your words, your experiences, your stories with us. And we are very grateful that your position exists within the Klamath tribes. We're so thankful for your voice within our community. And I know both of you are more than welcoming when it comes to other tribal members, other people in general. I'm sure even if they're non-native and they have questions, to come to you, to share their story, to ask questions, and to be led in a good way. Now, if we have any other questions about resources, maybe hotlines or anything, I'm sure you have plenty, so just give you a call. And if you don't have the answer, I know that you have access to receiving and finding the answer.
Certainly.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. And thank you all for listening to the Klamath Tribes podcast. This is Shawinisco. Won't try.
Won't try. Won't try.